of matter.
What is of matter?
Tvam.
For
you.
You.
Asi.
Asi.
Are.
Are.
Yet.
Yet.
Because.
Because.
Atmana.
Atmana.
In your original status.
In your original status.
Samavaruddha.
Samavaruddha.
Complete.
Complete.
Samasta.
Samasta.
In all.
In all.
Bhaga.
Bhaga.
Opulences.
Opulences.
Aga.
Aga.
Non-moving.
Non-moving.
Jagat.
Jagat.
And moving.
And
Okasham,
Okasham,
of those who possess material bodies. Akhila,
Akhila,
of all.
Shakti,
Shakti, the energies.
Energies.
Avabodhaka,
Avabodhaka,
O you who awaken. Te,
you,
you. Kwachit,
Kwachit,
sometimes.
Sometimes.
Ajaya,
Ajaya,
with your material energy.
With your material energy.
Atmana,
and
with your internal spiritual energy.
Energy.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Charata.
Charata.
Engaging.
Engaging.
Anucharet.
Anucharet.
Can appreciate.
Can appreciate.
Nigama.
Nigama.
The Vedas.
The Vedas.
That's all.
Translation by His Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Shrutis said, victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. The Shrutis said, victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Therefore, please defeat the eternal power of illusion, who assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for conditioned souls. O, you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings, sometimes the Vedas can recognize you as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies. I'll read the translation once again quickly. The Shruti said, victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Therefore, please defeat the eternal power of illusion, who assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for conditioned souls. O you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings, sometimes the Vedas can recognize you as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies. There's a very long purport. So I'll not read the entire purport, otherwise the whole class will be over. It's a very long purport. Probably I'll read just the first few lines of it, and then as we go along the class, then we'll be able to understand more about that. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the 28 verses of the prayers of the personified Vedas represent the opinions of each of the 28 major Shrutis. These chief Upanishads and other Shrutis concern themselves with various approaches to the absolute truth. And among them, those Shrutis are supreme which emphasize pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Upanishads direct our attention to the personality of Godhead by first negating what is distinct from Him and then defining some of His important characteristics. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti interprets the first words of this prayer, Jai, Jai, to mean, please reveal your super excellence. The word Jai is repeated out of either reverence or out of joy. How should I reveal my excellence? The Lord might ask. The Shrutis answer by requesting Him to mercifully destroy the ignorance of all living beings and attract them to His lotus feet. The Lord says, but Maya, who imposes ignorance on the Jivas, is full of good qualities. Why should I oppose her? Yes, the Vedas answer, but she has taken on the three modes of material nature to bewilder the conditioned souls and make them falsely identify with their material bodies. Her modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, moreover, are tainted because you are not manifest in their presence. And so on and so forth. The Shrutis and Lord, they are conversing with one another. No. Just one second. I need you for a minute.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that Aradhanam means what? Glorification and worship. Aradhanam Sarvesham, out of all the glorification and worship, Vishnor Aradhanam Param, the worship and glorification of Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, is Param, number one. Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam. However, more important than glorifying Lord Vishnu, higher than that is the glorification of the devotees of Lord Vishnu. So, here we see in this chapter called as the prayers of the personified Vedas. The personification of the Vedas, who are devotees of the Lord, are glorifying the Lord. That is one stage. Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnur Aradhanam Param. But what we are going to do now is the next half. We are going to start by glorifying the Vedas. Because Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So, for a few minutes, let's talk about the glories. Let's understand the glories of the Vedas. As most of you know, the word Veda means knowledge or wisdom. The Vedas have a very detailed amount. It's a very heavy book of knowledge. It is said that the Vedas contain 100 billion shlokas. Of course, most of the Vedas is lost in Kali Yuga, but still we have quite a few of them available. And thanks to the Acharyas, they have translated it in English so that all of us can understand and we are able to at least discuss this subject matter sitting here. The Vedas are also called as desire tree. Kalpataror, desire trees. Why? Because they contain everything that is knowable by man. The Vedas cover everything right from the mundane necessities of life and till the point of self-realization. Everything, so Vedas are completely self-contained in themselves. They cover so many topics like social, political, economic, what is that? Arthashastra. We have Arthashastra, which is economic. We have military. That's called as what? Dhanur Shastra or Dhanur Vidya. Right? So they cover that. Then they cover medicine, Ayurveda. Right? So they cover so many topics. Then they cover chemistry, called as Rasayan, and so on and so forth, till self-realization. So what do we mean by Vedic literature? The Bhavishya Puran defines what is Vedic literature. What is contained in the box called as Vedic literature. So the Bhavishya Puran says that Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda plus Mahabharata, including the Bhagavad Gita, the Pancharatra, then Ramayana and Puranas are all Vedic literature. All this put together can be called as Vedic literature. The Chandogya Upanishad adds that in fact the Puranas and the Itihasas are in fact called as the fifth Veda. So we all know that the Vedas basically deal with four material aspects. Which are those? Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Dharma means what? Religiosity. Artha, economic development. Kama, sense gratification. And moksha means liberation. Now the Vedas basically deal with three departments of activities. Those are Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kanda. Karma Kanda basically deal with activities which are under the Vedic injunctions. And people who follow Karma Kanda have their own sadhya or goal. The goal of people, the Karma Kanda addresses those section of people who want elevation to heavenly planets or who want to have a nice time in this material world and get some comforts by praying to the demigods or the devatas. People who want to do dana and tapa, who want to do charity with the expectation that if you give 1 rupee or $1, then you'll get in return some $1 million. Okay. That is called as dana, so called dana of Karma Kanda. And tapa, austerities. I'll fast on Tuesday so that I can get a good husband. Okay. This is tapa. So all this is mentioned in Karma Kanda. The desire is basically what? Sense gratification at the end of the day. Apparently the activity looks religious from outside. This Karma Kanda is also called as Pravritti Marga, or this Karma Kanda, the basic aim of Karma Kanda is to go on increasing the material enjoyment, increasing what is called as Bhukti. Three goals: Bhukti, Mukti and Bhakti. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says this in Jaiva Dharma. Bhukti, Mukti and Bhakti. If you take any individual in this material world, if you ask him what do you want, and whatever answer he gives, it will fall into these three categories. Either he wants bhukti or mukti or bhakti. So the Karma Kanda deals with the so-called people who want bhukti. Then the Jnana Kanda. Now the difference between Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda is, Karma Kanda aims at increasing the material enjoyment, and Jnana Kanda aims at decreasing the material enjoyment. However, the problem with Jnana Kanda is that Jnana Kanda aims at understanding the Supreme Lord through the speculative process. That is a problem with Jnana Kanda. Okay. But yes, it's probably more glorious than Karma Kanda, because at least, you know, you're trying to learn some detachment from material enjoyment. So this is called as Nivritti Marga. The first one was Pravritti Marga and the second one is Nivritti Marga. Then we talk about the Upasana Kanda. The Vedas also talk about Upasana Kanda. The similarity between Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kanda is both are aimed at reducing the material enjoyment. Okay. Both are aimed at getting detachment from matter. However, the difference between Jnanakanda and Upasanakanda is, while Jnanakanda aims at understanding the Supreme Lord through speculative process, Upasanakanda aims at understanding him through the process of bhakti or devotion. So these are the three departments of activities which the Vedas offer based upon the individual aptitudes of people in this world and what goal, what everyone wants in this life. So the Vedas cater to all these kinds of people. In fact, it is said that the Vedic knowledge resembles a tree, a vriksha, a tree. It is said that whatever we discuss now, the Karma Kand, Jnana Kand and Upasana Kand, these are called as the branches of that tree. This tree also has flowers. So the flowers of this tree are Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So the branches are these three, Karma Kand, Jnana Kand, Upasana Kand, and the flowers are Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Then it is said that the unripened fruit, this tree also has got ripe fruits and unripened fruits. The unripened fruits are the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra. Unripened fruits. Now it's very interesting. It is said that Dharma, Artha, Kama are the flowers, whereas Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra are the unripened fruit. I was just meditating on this point and my understanding on this, and please correct me if my understanding is wrong, but flowers give lot of fragrance, but they don't give taste. They look attractive, they give lot of fragrance. So something is there in a flower, but they don't offer taste. Whereas, when we talk about fruits, fruits give taste. But unripened fruit doesn't give as much taste as a ripened fruit. So this was how I understood this analogy. So the branches are Karma Kand, Jnana Kand, Upasana Kand. The flowers are Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, which may give some, there may be some attraction in that, but it will not ultimately give eternal taste. Unripened fruit, Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, by their very nature, will offer some taste, but it is still unripened. However, the Vedic knowledge gives ripened fruit. And that ripened fruit is the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, in first chapter, text 3, when the sages are asking the questions, there is a very beautiful verse. Most of you know that verse. It says, Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukha mukad amrita dravya samyutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhur aho rasika bhuvi bhavukah. Nigama kalpataro is this tree which we are talking about of the Vedas. Galitam means fully matured. We are talking about the ripe fruits. Drava means what? That which is easily swallowable. You can very easily taste this. Sukhamukad amrita. Sukhamukad, it has been bitten. This fruit has been bitten by Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami is none other than the parrot of Radharani. So a fruit which has been bitten by a parrot tastes much, much better. So Sukhamukad, by his mukh, by his lips, this has been touched. Rasam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Rasamalayam implies that most of these people who are following Jnanakanda, the perfection they attain is what? Brahman. They attain Brahman realization. We know Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Tattvam Yaj Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. There are three levels of realization of God. Brahman, the impersonal aspect. Paramatma, the localized aspect of the super soul. And ultimately Bhagwan, where we have a relationship with the Lord. One is Brahman, where we are simply seeing the energy of the Lord. We are seeing one of the manifestations of the Lord. Paramatma, where we are seeing the Lord face to face. And Bhagavan realization, where we are not only seeing the Lord, but we are having a relationship with the Lord. These are three different levels of realization of the absolute truth. So here it is said, Rasamalayam. Rasamalayam because Bhagavan realization is so great. Srimad Bhagavatam takes you to this Bhagavan realization. This Srimad Bhagavatam is so nectarian that even the people who have attained perfection in the Jnanakanda and who are Brahmavadis are still attracted by this Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told a famous Atma Rama verse, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgranta Api Urukrame, when he said that Krishna attracts even the liberated souls. And Srimad Bhagavatam is none other than Lord Krishna. Right? Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adibisaha. Kalau Nashta Drishamesha Purana Arka Adhuna Uditaha. Which means that after the departure of Lord Krishna from the planet, Krishna has appeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam to guide all of us. So therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the Rasamalayam. But what is the genesis of Srimad Bhagavatam? The genesis of Srimad Bhagavatam is verily the Vedas and the Vedanta Sutras. So that is the glory of the Vedas. That Vedas have offered us Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of the day. So, the Vedas offer various law codes. Now any student of law has to read many law codes. But these law codes are very boring. For example, even when I studied, I did my management MBA, at that time I was, I always felt like bunking this law class somehow. It was just boring. Clause number 4.3, hereby, the solicitor, the party and the, this and that, and you just don't understand, even the English you don't understand. Okay? So it's such a boring thing. However, I used to always enjoy the case studies which were given after that. Okay, this is all this contract law and whatever, now this is your case study. Now go and solve it and come and do a presentation. When we did the case study, then we understood that law like the back of our hand. Okay. And we had a very expert teacher also who was teaching us that. But through case studies, we understand the codes of law much better. The point that we are arriving here is that the Vedanta Sutra talks about many concepts, law codes. Raso vaisaha, atato brahma jigyasa and all that. But if you just present it to someone, if a person is coming and then you say, atato brahma jigyasa, then he'll run away from the temple. He'll say that, boss, what are you talking? No, just beyond me. Okay, I don't understand these things. However, if you tell him some story about how Krishna stole the butter, then that person will say, this is very nectarian to me. Okay. So therefore, the Vedas have been very merciful that they have not restricted themselves to the law codes, but they have also offered us the Vedic literature couples of so many other things. The case studies are available in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rasamalayam. The Vedas have a threefold revelation. They have three ways of studying the Vedas, three components of the Vedas. The first one is called as Shruti. Shruti means that knowledge which is understood by hearing from the ears. For example, the four Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda, plus the 108 Upanishads. This knowledge is called as Shruti. Because this knowledge is received by the ear through oral reception and then it goes into our hearts. So that is Shruti. The second aspect of the Vedas is called as Nyaya. For example, when we tell someone, the code, the law code from the Vedanta Sutra, that person will say, all this is fine. Talk something logical, man. Talk something logical. Therefore, the Vedas have very mercifully provided the Nyaya, which is full of logic. This logic is available in the Vedanta Sutra. So for people who will not understand simply by hearing, who will want some kind of logic, it's available in the Vedanta Sutra. So the first is Shruti, then the second one is Nyaya. And the third one is Smriti. Smriti means remembering, that which is understood by remembrance. For example, it is said that the Puranas, the Itihasas and the Mahabharat, we can easily remember. We can easily remember something. If for example someone recites a Mahabharat story and then substantiates some point which is given in the Vedas, then the person goes home and still remembers it. He'll go home and, if suppose someone asks him, lecture mein kya suna bhai, what did you hear in the lecture today? He may not remember raso vaisaha or atato brahma jigyasa, but he'll definitely remember the examples which were given in that class. So, the Smritis give us interesting case studies of the history of realized souls. And by understanding the history of realized souls, for example, by understanding Bhishma Dev's pastime, we understand what should be our consciousness at the time of death. Okay. Simply by remembering Bhishma Dev's pastime. So it's very easy. So Srimad Bhagavatam is full of these pastimes. And thanks to the Vedas, that Srimad Bhagavatam is available to us. So, if many of you who are doing the Bhakti Shastri course and the Bhakti Vaibhav course, if you remember the aims of Shastric study, 12 aims of Shastric study. Okay, anyone remembers what are the first three aims? I'm sure many of you remember. That's right. And realization, personal application and preaching application. So knowledge and understanding and application. Application will not come without realization, and realization also will not come without application, right? So knowledge, understanding and realization, these are the three components of Shastric study. So the Shrutis, the three aspects, the Shrutis give us knowledge. The Nyaya gives us understanding through logic, whereas realization will come through the Smritis. So all of these are important. Not that one is important than the other. All of these are important, but ultimately one has to come to the point of realization. And the Vedas offer all these three. There are three spiritual aspects of the Vedas. The Vedas basically, what is the point in all this? Fine, Karma Kand, Jnana Kand, everything we discussed. There is a lot of theory now. So what? What is the end of all this? The end of all this is ultimately that every conditioned soul in this material world has to understand three truths. What are those? Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Okay. So this is the goal of all the Vedas. The Vedas basically aim at giving us Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means relationship. Who am I and what is my relationship with the Supreme? Abhideya Gyan means the process. Now having understood that this is my relationship with the Supreme, what should I do from tomorrow or from today? That is the process. So Vedas offer the process. And also having done this, what's in it for me? What am I going to get? What is the benefit? So the Prayojana, the goal. The Vedas talk about what is the benefits and what is the goal of the human form of life. And having attained that goal, how that goal will automatically remove all the eternal miseries of a conditioned soul. So these are the three spiritual aspects of the Vedas. Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. In Isopanishad, many of us have learned that there are four defects in the conditioned soul. Making mistakes, being under illusion, cheating propensity, senses are imperfect. Therefore, the Isopanishad says that we have to understand this Vedas through the process of Shruti. Okay. We cannot go by Pratyaksha Praman or Anuman Praman. Right? Pratyaksha Praman means direct evidence. We cannot understand the subject matter of the Vedas through direct evidence. We cannot understand through speculative process or inductive knowledge. We have to understand only through Shruti. Now, if we tell this to people, people say that, okay, fine. Okay, I accept your point that, okay, I am not going to go for direct evidence or whatever. But how do I put my faith in the Vedas? Tell me something about the Vedas by which I will develop some faith. Many times people ask us this question when we preach. So, two important points about the Vedas we should remember is that the Vedas have never been disproved by anyone. No material scientists, no Einstein or no Isaac Newton has ever disproved the Vedic conclusions. Number two, the Vedas have never undergone amendments. Okay. Most of us in IT line who are programmers, every other day we are doing some amendments to the code. Yesterday management said something is required, today they are changing. Right? Nityanand Priya Prabhu one day was telling how in his office, you know, first they tell something, then they change it. Again they blame the programmer after that. Okay. So the codes in this material world undergo so many versioning. 1.1.2.3. Even the laws are amending, you know, continuously. Illicit sex is not there. But today what is happening? People are saying, okay, gay marriages are also okay. Okay, let's amend the law. 1.2.3.2. As per this, yes. You know, people can marry even if they are of the same sex. So the modern day rules are constantly changing to become user friendly so that the politicians can amass lot of votes, so that the prime minister or president can remain in his chair, because he wants those people's votes also at the end of the day. But the Vedas has never undergone any amendments. They have never been disproved, and there has never been any amendments. I was reading an interesting example in one of the books. In that it was written that the scientists want to measure the distances in the universe. The distances in the universe are very vast. So the scientists, after a lot of research, after years of research, you know, great scientists, MIT and whatever, these institutes, they came up with what is called as the Hubble constant. The Hubble constant, it's called as. Okay. Now the problem with this Hubble constant is, after the scientist who invented this Hubble constant, after he left this material world, of course he's maybe still in the material world, after he died, after the scientist died, the other scientists came and tried to, because everyone has to get his own PhD at the end of the day. So someone has to disprove the earlier fellow, right? Otherwise why I will get a PhD if I agree with him? Okay. So he disagreed and then he produced some other version of it. So then Hubble constant 1.1 version. Then another scientist came and said Hubble constant 1.1.1 version. And so on and so forth. It became a joke in the institute that the Hubble constant now should be called as the Hubble variable. Okay. So that is the nature of science. Whereas the Vedas are very different. Vedas are unchangeable. Never any additions. So how do we put our faith in these Vedas? So there are ample examples. Gandhari, when she was angry, she hit her own womb. And we know that when he hit her womb, a lump of flesh came out of that womb. And what happened? Srila Vyasadeva came there and said, okay, hang on, don't be miserable. Let us make 100 divisions of this flesh. Okay? And then he advised Gandhari to put them in a pot of ghee. And from each such pot, every Kaurava came. Okay. So one of the in one of the recent Indian newspapers, a scientist, an eminent scientist, has said that this is science. This science of growing a fetus outside the womb of the mother is available in the Vedas. The scriptures talk about it, which scientists are now trying to even discover. Even a test tube baby today, scientists are not able to perfect the art. But this art was already perfected by Srila Vyasadeva at that time. In fact, the concept of flying, Viman or airplane, was mentioned in Mahabharata, was mentioned in Ramayana, where Ravana is traveling through the Viman. The third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, text 31, where Kapila Muni is talking to Devahuti, that is talking very systematic descriptions are given of what happens to the embryo within the womb. There was no X-ray those days. There was no, what is that called as endoscopy? What is that? No, you put that thing over your stomach and then see the vision. What is that? Sonography. Sonography. There was no sonography. There was no X-ray or anything like that. But the Srimad Bhagavatam third canto very systematically talks about what happens to the fetus after it enters the womb. First it becomes into a bubble, then it turns into a plum and so on and so forth. And what kind of miseries that soul undergoes inside the womb. In fact, Devamrita Swami had also explained this in great detail during one of the retreats, if I remember. And many people had come and said that, we can't believe it that the Vedas have given what science is trying to discover recently. So, this is another praman of the Vedas, why we can blindly put our faith in the Vedas. Then Vedas talk about the purity of cow dung, which again science is trying to discover. Vedas talk about that plants have life and plants have feelings also, which very recently was proved by one of the Indian scientists called as Jagdish Chandra Bose. He proved that plants also have feelings, which Vedas anyway talk about. Vedas give lot of predictions. The advent of Buddha, Chanakya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam predicts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. The Bhavishya Puran and the Atharva Veda predicts the advent of Jesus Christ and Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad. This is also given in the Vedas. The Vedas also say, Tatascha Anudinam Dharmam Satyam Shaucham Shamadaya Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayubalam Smriti. It says that in Kali Yuga, the Kali Yuga will degrade so much, Tatascha Anudinam Dharmam, religiosity will go down, Satyam Shaucham Shamadaya. Satyam means truthfulness will go down, Shaucham, cleanliness will go down. Earlier the toilet used to be outside the house in India. But today the toilet is right in front. When you enter the house, where is the toilet? Yeah, here only. Just put your shoes there. So today the houses are all being, so cleanliness has gone away today. Okay. So earlier days the toilet was outside the house. Okay, that was cleanliness. But today obviously we can't even afford. If you tell a builder, build a toilet outside the house, then you have to be a millionaire to be able to afford that. Okay. So all this is already mentioned. Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayu Balam Smriti. The age will go down. Age of human beings is going down day by day. Nangshati Ayu. Nangshati means destroyed. Ayu, balam, strength is going down. Okay. And smriti, remembrance is going down. Suppose I tell your mobile number today, now if I ask you, after 2 minutes I'll forget. What was that again? I'll ask you. And then I'll have to store it. Okay. And then I'll also tell you, can you send me an email also so it's available? Okay. So all this is predicted already in the Vedas and everything is happening exactly like that today. Food is going to be sold. This is also predicted in the Vedas. Earlier, there was Dharmashala. Food was never sold. But today, food is being sold. That is predicted. People will eat fetus, which is actually happening. Thanks to China and Taiwan, they have proved the Vedas correct. Okay, that's a benefit. They are eating aborted babies today. Then the Vedas also say something funny. It says, Aivanyam Kesha Dharanam, men with long hair will be considered as very beautiful. So we see those rock stars, you know, moving their head wildly like this, and people are saying, ah, like that. The rock concert. So this is Kali Yuga for us. Then Vipratve Sutra Mevahi. It is said that in Kali Yuga, a Brahmana will be known by a 50 paisa thread around his neck. If anyone can afford that thread and call some people and make a show that, you know, my son is getting initiated, you know, we do in South India normally. And then as long as everyone will come, have tea and coffee and then go away. And the pujaris, they will also have tea and coffee. And then they'll bless and then go. They'll tell some mantra and they'll go away. Okay. So, the concept of Brahmana is also going away. So, Vedas has already predicted all these things and these things are already coming true. So, why should we not put the faith in the Vedas? So, that's about the glorification of the Vedas. Now, what's happening in this chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay. Here, Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami a question. And whatever we discussed will obviously, you know, this context will be useful in understanding what answer Sukadeva Goswami is giving. But first, Maharaj Parikshit's question to Sukadeva Goswami is, the Vedas are dealing with the three modes of material nature. Okay. So, how can the Vedas describe what is transcendence? Because they are involved in all these, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, three modes of material nature things. How can it describe transcendence? Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami that the mind as well as the vibration of sound, both are material. So how can something material describe that which is not material? And Sukadeva Goswami further, Maharaj Parikshit further asks that for a description of anything, we need to know the source or the emanation of that. We need to know the qualities and we need to know the activities. Now all these descriptions are only possible by the mind and the words. Brahman has got no material qualities. But our speaking ability, our power of speech is material at the end of the day. So how can that which is beyond material, how can the transcendental be described by material words? So how can Vedas describe the transcendental things? So I don't understand how possibly we can understand that which is transcendental from expressions of matter and sound. Sukadeva Goswami also asks another question. He wants to know what is the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas. What the Vedas say is the absolute truth. Is the absolute truth impersonal or the absolute truth personal? These are all these questions. Now, as we discussed earlier, the Vedas talk about three departments of activities. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kanda. The Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the other hand, expands into, there are two expansions of the Lord. One is called as Svamsha. That is His personal expansions, which are called as Vishnu Tattva. And then the other type of expansion is called as the Vibhinna Amsha. Vibhinna Amsha means the Jiva Tattvas, the separated parts and parcels, which include the demigods. Now we all know that for regulated sense gratification, the Vedas say that at least live life as a law abider. You continue your sense gratification, but at least don't break the law for your sense gratification. Abide by the law. So if your tongue doesn't have control and you still want to eat goat meat, okay, at least don't go to McDonald's and eat that. Or don't go to that, what is that, Hungry Jack's or whatever. Don't go there. Bring a live animal, okay, pray to Lord Kali, worship, cut the animal there, say some prayers and then you can partake of that animal, right? So the Vedas offer all these things. The Vedas actually talk about this. Now Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit, being very intelligent, says, obviously cutting an animal, worshipping to Kali and then eating it after saying some mantras, is this the perfection of life? Obviously this cannot be the absolute truth. We are not living here so that we just cut animals and gobble them up saying some mantras. That cannot give ultimate satisfaction to the soul, he is saying. So this demigod worship, okay, is also not the absolute truth, but it's only an indirect way. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, I think chapter 9, text 23, there is a verse which ends with, I don't know the full verse, but if anyone of you know, you can recite. It ends with Yajanti Avidhi Purvakam. The fourth line of that. So avidhi means what? Avidhi purvakam means that which is not bona fide. So the Lord Krishna himself is telling that the worship of demigods is not the highest. So Sukhdev Goswami, the Maharaj Parishit knows about it. So he's saying that this cannot be the absolute truth. In fact, because all these things are given in the Vedas, the impersonalists take advantage of this. They say, see, what nonsense. You know, just offering some, cutting some animal. You know, instead of ahimsa, they are cutting animals and then gobbling up this by worshipping Kali. Therefore, there is no Kali, there is no nothing. Okay, everything is impersonal. There is no God. This is not a bona fide way of worship. So the impersonalists ridicule the karmakandis. But at the end of the day, what happens? They get an upper hand because of this. Okay. Because apparently, the moral values which are preached by the impersonalists appeal to those people who still haven't got a higher taste than the impersonalist philosophy. So, impersonalists take advantage of this and stress the impersonal aspect of the God. So, therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is now, having gone through all this, Maharaj Parikshit is confused. Is finally impersonalism or personalism, which is the absolute truth? What is the Vedas? What is the final conclusion of the Vedas? This is the second question. And he's saying that you have told me while describing the Srimad Bhagavatam, obviously Sukadeva Goswami very early on says that this whole world is Brahman. And Prabhupada explains, you know, in that chapter which is called as Divinity and Divine Service, the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and Krishna is the source of incarnation. Prabhupada says everything is Brahman, but at the corner of Brahman there is a dark cloud which is called as Mahatattva, and that is the material world. Okay. It's a dark cloud in one corner of the universe. So Sukadeva Goswami is now asking Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami, how can people within that small cloud know what is the vast expanse outside that cloud? That is the next question that he is asking me. So how can, on top of that, being inside this cloud, if you are using the speculative process for understanding what is outside the cloud, what is the guarantee that someone will understand the absolute truth? And after all, he is saying, the mind senses life air, which means the mana, the indriya and the prana are all coming from Mahatattva. So they are all material in nature. This is the question that he is posing. So Sukadeva Goswami starts to reply to that question. He says, mana, indriya and prana are created not only for sense gratification, but the same mana, indriya and prana, the same mana is also created for understanding the subject matter of liberation. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayah. The mind itself is the cause for attachment and the mind itself is the cause for liberation. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha attachment and mokshayah, liberation, mind itself. So he says that mana, indriya, prana are created not only for sense gratification, but the same mana, indriya, prana are created also for understanding the subject matter of liberation. However, what decides how they are used? So Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, it is the intelligence. The intelligence has to drive the mana, indriya and prana, and not vice versa. The mind cannot drive the intelligence. The intelligence has to drive the mind. Okay? And used properly. Only then the mind and the mana, indriya and prana can be purified. So this is very important to understand. That, so Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami is telling him that at the end of the day, out of the soul and the mana, indriya, prana, which is that which is created? The word created applies only to mana, indriya, prana, mind, intelligence and the senses. Because the Lord says, never was a time when you were born or you did not exist. Which means what? That the soul, at any point in time, the soul always existed. So the word created for the soul is not correct. The word created only applies to mind, intelligence and the senses. So this is the way Sukadeva Goswami is convincing Maharaj Parikshit. It's only the mind, senses and intelligence that were created by God. The jivas were never created because they are eternal. Just like the rays of the sun are always there, but sometimes a cloud comes and covers the rays of the sun. Therefore, we can't see the rays of the sun as it is. So, because of this covering of matter, this material contamination or the perverted consciousness, therefore we cannot understand that knowledge which is already there inside the soul. So, he's saying the Vedas are not giving you some descriptions by which you will understand God externally. The understanding of God is already there internally as a part of the soul. So the Vedas, what they are simply doing is, by their word, they are trying to clean the outer layer. Just example, if we have a shoe and there is dust which is covered, I take a material brush which is also made of matter and I brush that shoe and the shoe starts shining. The shine was originally there in the shoe. It is just because of the dust that I could not see that. So that is the job that the Vedas are doing by their words. So this is the first conclusion, answer which he gives. So the whole Vedic process, the first conclusion which Sukadeva Goswami gives is, the whole Vedic process is to alleviate this darkness of Mahatattva. In fact, in the Vedanta Sutra he says that the first sutra or the code
questions. What is the quality? What is the nature of the absolute truth? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. What is it? Immediately the next sutra answers that question. It says that the absolute truth is the origin of everything. Absolute truth can be only that which is the origin of everything, from which everything emanates. Therefore, if we have mind, intelligence and senses, then how is it possible that the absolute truth does not have mind, intelligence and senses? The very word created means that there is a transcendental intelligence, because we have seen that every creation involves a creator. There cannot be a creation without a creator, and a creator cannot create without intelligence. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami convinces him, saying that the absolute truth therefore is the supreme personality with intelligence. But that intelligence and that mana, that mind, senses and intelligent is not material. His mind, intelligence, senses are transcendental. And we can purify our mind, intelligence and senses, which are covered by the process of devotional service. Therefore, absolute truth is a person. That is the second conclusion of the Vedas, which he establishes. Next, he says that the Vedas are meant for gradual upliftment. Gradual upliftment. Okay, from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, so that one can see things as they are. And in this, and a very beautiful example Srila Prabhupada gives in the book Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says that where does fire come from? Prabhupada says that originally there is earth. Okay. From the earth comes tree. From the tree comes wood. And when the wood gets ignited causelessly, okay, samsara dana, causelessly it gets ignited, then what happens? There is smoke first. Initially there is smoke, there is no fire. First smoke comes, then heat comes, and then ultimately fire manifests. The fire was already there originally in the earth, but it's only a matter of time and a process that that fire manifests. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that similarly, gross material life is by default full of mode of ignorance, because mode of ignorance is what is most prominent. Dissipation of this ignorance takes place gradually, just like the fire is manifesting. Okay. Therefore, you will see that the Vedas help mankind in moving from a barbarian kind of a culture to a civilized culture, from crude sense gratification to polished sense gratification. But when one is promoted to the mode of goodness, which is above the mode of passion, one understands that the senses and mind are engaged materially only because of perverted consciousness. But however, when by understanding the Vedas and taking the instructions of the Vedas, we remove that perverted consciousness, then automatically the soul has got that quality. The fire is already there inside. That will get revealed. There's an interesting verse which is there in the Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada says, which opens the door for liberation. The verse is, Prasangam ajaram pasam atmanah kavayo viduhu sa eva sadhushu krito mokshadvaram apavritam. Which means that by engaging the mind and senses, okay, in the service of the Vaishnavas, then the doors for liberation are opened out automatically. So the Vedas are already offering the solution. Therefore, what is the conclusion? Next conclusion which Sukadeva Goswami says, that it is not true that one is unable to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the mind and the senses. Rather, they just need to be purified by the process of devotional service. Which is what Rupa Goswami has also said in Nectar of Devotion. Atah Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indiyari sevon mukehi jivadav swayam eva spuratyadaha. So we have to, by sevon mukehi jivadav, by virtue of the tongue, by the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then the process of cleaning will automatically happen. Now, Sukadeva Goswami adds finally that the Upanishads describe the absolute truth or the qualities in different ways. One such way is nirguna. And Sukadeva Goswami says, nirguna doesn't mean the lack of qualities. Nirguna simply means that the supreme truth has got no material qualities, and the qualities are transcendental. Otherwise, if it had no qualities, then how did we get qualities? How did we get the qualities of goodness? How did we get the quality of love or compassion? Because the absolute truth has it. Therefore, the purpose of studying the Upanishads is to understand the transcendental qualities of the absolute truth. And then,
Who else is more qualified than Sukadeva Goswami himself? Because the four Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami were initially impersonalists. And then Sukadeva Goswami became Sukadeva Goswami and spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now the same Sukadeva Goswami, when he says that impersonalism is not the absolute truth, then obviously, who else is a better person who has walked that path of impersonalism, did not find any rasa in that, and then took to personalism and then perfected himself. So Sukadeva Goswami is narrating this. So Sukadeva Goswami is making this conclusion authoritatively based upon his own experience. And finally, there is what is happening in these verses is the importance of disciplic succession is also. These verses teach us the importance of understanding these Vedas through disciplic succession. We glorified the Vedas quite a lot at the beginning of this class. However, we missed this most important point, that the Vedas, though they have the ability to reveal all the truths to us, we will not understand those truths unless we understand through disciplic succession. The same thing Krishna is also telling, in 3.5 to Arjuna, Lord Krishna is saying, Karma Brahma Uddhavam Vidhi Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. Karma means work, Brahma means from the Vedas, Udbhavam means produced, and Akshara means Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Samudbhava means directly manifested. So he says that regarding the regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the same Krishna is telling Arjuna, Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Raja Rishiyo Vidhu Sa Kalene Hamata Yoganashta Parampara. Lord Krishna is saying that this process over because of the time, it was coming in disciplic succession, it is lost. Therefore, I am telling it to you so that then you can now establish another disciplic succession. Therefore, we understand that these Vedas have to be understood only by the process of hearing from realized souls. And in this pastime, what is happening? That's exactly what is happening. Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit is posing this question to Sukadeva Goswami, saying that how can I understand the three modes of material nature? How can we believe that Vedas talk about the absolute truth, though Vedas are talking about the three modes of material nature? Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is not directly answering him. Sukadeva Goswami is first appreciating the question of Maharaj Parikshit and is telling him, yes, the same question was asked many years back to Narayan Rishi. When Narayan Rishi, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, came down as one of his incarnations and he was performing a lot of austerities, then there were a lot of sages who were asking the same question to Narayan Rishi, and Narayan Rishi answered those sages again based upon a pastime which happened again thousands of years back, when the Sanand Kumar was addressing the sages of Janaloka. And dear Maharaj Parikshit, you are asking the same question to me now. So whatever I am going to explain to you is the same answer which the Sanand Kumar gave to the sages of Janaloka, which again Narayan Rishi heard and gave it to the sages at that time, and now you are asking to give it to Narad, and Narad, I heard it from him, and then now I am giving it to you. So what we again learn from this process is, from this verse, is that the Vedas have to be understood only by disciplic succession. So the conclusion is, this verse talks about Jaya Jaya Jahi Ajam Ajita Dosha Grihabita Gunam. Now why is this Jaya Jaya said? Sukadeva Goswami says that after the disillusion, the Vedas was every time. Now what happens is, in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, we understand that there is a dissolution process after creation. And after dissolution process, everything goes into the body of Mahavishnu. And everything is in a state of Sushupti or sleep. Right? Now how to awaken the Lord from this sleep and start the new creation? So the Vedas, thanks to the Vedas, they awakened the Lord by glorifying the Lord. So the Vedas are servants of the Lord. So the Vedas are glorifying the Lord by these verses. Jaya Jaya Jahi Ajam Ajita Dosha. Now what is the significance of this verse? The significance of this verse is that the Vedas are glorifying Lord Krishna and awakening him so that he starts manifesting the material creation. Okay. So the point what Sukadeva Goswami is making here is, and we have studied it in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we have read the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Tadvak Visarga Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abaddavati Api. So in that verse, it is said that any literature which glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead is great, regardless of the fact whether it is imperfectly composed. We should never find a fault with anything that is glorifying the Lord. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit that the Vedas apparently may seem to you that they are talking about the three modes of material nature. But the very fact that they are glorifying the Lord with these prayers, that means whatever the Vedas speak is perfect. So that is the conclusion of this verse. Thanks for your patience. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Okay,
the origin of the Brahman thread is mentioned in the Vedas, in the Karma Kanda section. That is the answer to your first question. I have not personally read the Vedas, so I do not know.
I just thought it would be interesting.
Okay. But if anyone, Mahatmaji, anyone knows here, anyone who's read the Vedas, how the where it is mentioned, anyone knows that? Maybe you can answer, Mataji. Okay. So none of us know in this room, looks like. As regards the second question, it's not that the soul does not have mind intelligence. The soul is very much self-contained. Satchidananda vigraha. Okay. So you cannot have Satchidananda unless you have a mind, sense and intelligence. So the soul is very self-contained in itself. Okay. When the soul comes in contact with the material nature, then by the soul is covered by the elements of the Mahatattva, and by that it acquires material mind, senses and intelligence, which when purified, the soul is automatically having its own mind, intelligence, senses. That's why Lord Krishna is saying this verse, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Lord Krishna is saying that you are spirit soul, you have everything within you. Okay. But by the process of devotional service, the intelligence which is already there inside you, it will automatically manifest through the buddhi yoga. Right? In fact, he also says in the Chatushloki, Tesham evanu kampartam aham agyana jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. He's saying jnana deepena, that jnana deep, the ray of that knowledge which is there inside, the torch of that knowledge which is inside your heart will automatically manifest. Because why? Because the soul itself contains that intelligence to understand what is the relationship with the Lord. It's only because of the covering of matter that we have forgotten. And finally, the third part of your question, why we fell down from the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada says that despite, so that at one point in time we were all there in the material world. However, we developed envy for the Lord. We said, Lord, you are the supreme enjoyer. Okay, I have been enjoying with you in the spiritual world. It is very nice. But Lord, can I not enjoy like you? That was the thought which came very momentarily. And for a very fraction of a second, the soul just got that thought and turned away from Krishna. Very fraction of a second. And then that fraction of a second of the spiritual world is many, many lifetimes in the material world. That's what Srila Prabhupada explains. And we spend so much time, and then when we get hit, okay, and the Vedas actually serve the same purpose. The Vedas has got two purposes. One is, it gives you sense gratification, but all the scriptures say that this sense gratification is not going to last forever. They know that eventually material world is a place where everyone is going to get frustrated at some point in time. Okay. And we have, Srila Prabhupada has given us a special curse also. Right? You remember what is Srila Prabhupada's curse? Srila Prabhupada said, I curse all of you that my disciples will never be able to enjoy material life. So we have the curse of Srila Prabhupada also on top of that. So further Vedas on top of that, on top of Shastra, there is Sadhu also who is saying that. Okay. So there is no hope for us to enjoy the material world. So we have turned away our face from Krishna, and now what is happening? Gradually, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we are, and also the compulsions of matter, because material world is also kicking. So it's a two-way process. Prabhupada is attracting and material world is also kicking us from the backside. So we will eventually go back to Godhead. That's why we fell down and that's why we will go back. So, I don't know whether I answered your question. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vendra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Gaur Premanand.